I think before we start, I want us to look at some scriptures regarding giving, benevolence. If you can turn to Acts, I think it's on the board there. Chapter 4. Great. Acts 4. I'm actually start reading from verse 32. It says, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need." And obviously what we see here is about 5,000 disciples that got baptized in Acts chapter 2. These disciples came from places like Egypt, Libya, Rome. And on that day, they decided to make Jesus Lord of their life and they were added to the kingdom. What's very interesting if you were to think of, you know, the people that's coming from so far, far away. Obviously when they heard that they now need to attend the fellowship, they need to listen to what the apostles were teaching. You ask yourself, but where did they get the money to do that? People that's coming from so far. Obviously, they came for the day for Pentecost. And suddenly, they're there. They want to stay. They want to stay with the disciples. And you can immediately see there was a need that arose with the disciples to help them, to help each other. And the thing that I take from this scripture is that the disciples cared about each other's needs, the physical needs that they had. You may ask, but what needs should we take care of today amongst ourselves? Let's go to the next scripture. First Timothy. I can't hold everything. I have to. My wife could do it. She's not here. Okay. All right. I'm going to read chapter 6 from verse 6. It reads as follows. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." I'm just going to skip to verse 17. "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, which richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." Paul is writing here to Timothy. And what Paul is saying to Timothy, you know, everyone said, but what is the needs that they had at that stage? If you read with me again in verse 7 and 8, it says, "For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." When they lived, they were content with the bare basics, what they, you know, what it takes to live on. If you read in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus also said he never promised us jobs, he never promised us houses. What he did promise is food and clothing, the everyday thing that we would need to survive. And the same with us, you know, internally. Our giving towards the brother in need is not to keep his standard of living at a certain level. It's not to pay for the second BMW. It's not to keep the DSTV subscription going. It really is for someone that is struggling every month and need the money. Let's go to the next scripture. Second Thessalonica. I've been switching to Afrikaans these days, so please excuse me if I do. The reason why I'm going through the scriptures is just to give you an idea how we think about benevolence, especially for the members themselves. Now, obviously, we're there to help each other, but there's also a big responsibility on all of us, as we will read now. I'll read chapter 3. I'll read from verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without praying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'll explain both. Chapter 4, I'll read from verse 11. It says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we have told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of others, outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. I think the responsibility is quite clear when Paul addresses the church here, is that we need to work. We can't just receive. And he goes a bit further there, and he says that we actually, the way that we work should actually inspire people from outside the church, and we should win their respect by what we do. Now, how do you do that? You know, I think for myself, it starts with us. If we want to give to someone, to budget, you know, when we want to give, maybe on a Sunday to benevolence, we say, well, I'm going to put X amount aside to give to benevolence. That's one way. I think not living beyond our means, because that we won't be able to help others here if we do that. I think the big thing, obviously, is that things happen in life. You know, people get retrenched, they lose their work, there's illnesses. And for these things, you know, we've got each other for that. But the responsibility is quite clear that Paul places on us to really work for what we have. I'm just going to explain just how, who's on the committee. It's basically myself, Cyril over there, and Arena joined us, and then Mfundo, I don't see him here, but he's also on there. And how the process basically have worked for a couple of years is that the members that's in need, they approach the Bible Talk leader, and together they sit and they discuss, you know, what is the needs, etc. They would fill in a form. What the form is really for us is to really understand what the need is. The idea is that we not really just want to give out money, but we want to find out, but why is it happening? I know the analogy, instead of giving the fish, give a rod. And that's the whole idea behind it. So we've got dedicated disciples that have volunteered their time. So that if you have a struggle, if you are struggling with budgeting, for instance, there's someone that you can go and see. If it's with a career path, there's someone in the church that you can speak to that about. So really the idea is to not just give the fish, but the rod too. Just going on, you know, as a church, we're not allowed to give loans. So the money that we give is really, it's a benevolent offering. It's free. There's no, you know, we don't expect it back. But you are allowed to give back to the fund, you know, once you on your feet again and you want to contribute, you're more than welcome to do that. We obviously keep record of what we give out each year. That's for auditing purposes and just for ourselves that we can report back to the members. The amount that we gave to members inside the church last year totaled about 41,000. And these were obviously for very, very different cases and families. And then we contributed about 38,000 towards other churches, specifically in Haiti, what happened there. But this is just more or less to give you an idea of what we're doing currently. But if you have any questions, approach me, approach Cyril, you know, to talk about what you should do. We're also going to have a session with the Bible Talk leaders where we're going to explain to them more in detail about the procedures and the policies surrounding benevolence. But yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. It's a real thrill for me to be this evening to talk to you about what we've been doing as a benevolent fund committee, but also just to express my thanks to all of you for the sacrifice, for the position that you have put us in as a committee to be able to help other people. And you know, I've had some really great support from Mark and Mfundo in terms of just making sure that we've got some good processes, procedures in place in terms of handling internal benevolent needs. But also, just want to acknowledge the effort that Van has brought to bear in terms of looking at needs outside of the church as well. And to just not look at an opportunity to maybe hand out food or help in destitute situations, but to get involved in situations where we can really make a difference. And over the last year or two, we have been looking at a number of options, a number of opportunities outside of the church. To get the church involved on a regular basis. We know that there are many of you who want to give to the poor, who want to serve the poor. And so it's really been on Vanna's heart that we find opportunities where we can give you the opportunity to fulfill that desire to serve. We got involved a while back with a soup kitchen in Belha, and we were all very excited about it for a while. Unfortunately, there were some political agendas that got in the way of the whole thing. The soup kitchen was the brainchild of a local government politician. We had a vision of where we wanted to see this thing going. You know, he obviously wanted to use it more as sort of a political platform, and so we've parted company. We did it very amicably, but we decided to look for other opportunities. So for the last year, you know, we've had a number of different institutions come to us and actually tell us about what they had been doing. And the one organization that we thought that represented a similar vision to what we had in mind as a church is an organization here in Elsie's River called Tehila House. I know that some of you had already been involved in that particular community. Some of the brothers had been involved in setting up a computer facility at the home so the kids who live there can have access to some really nice technology there. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we've got a video specifically about Tehila afterwards. But for now, you know, I just really want to salute disciples who entirely on their own bat, on their own initiative, have gone out there to look for opportunities to serve. And I know that the people that have been the most active in that area had also been the people that had been the most modest about what they had done. And they've given us photographs and stuff, but they said, you know, please keep our names out of it. We'd rather have our reward in heaven rather than get our acknowledgement here. And so I'm going to honor that request. And so the idea of the presentation tonight is not to honor people, although, you know, I believe that they need to be honored. But the idea is more to give you an idea of what has been going on. And if you were maybe looking for an opportunity to get involved, there are a couple of initiatives in addition to Tehillah House where you can get involved. So without any further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Peter to run through the slideshow presentation, and we'll talk again later. Thanks.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better.
Gee, some of the PowerPoint transitions need a bit of work on. We're now going to show you the DVD that that Jeremy had produced for us of the work that we've been doing at Tehillah. So, Gustav.
The covers were all tattered. The books were just like put in there. The holes in the ceiling, there wasn't any lighting. It was a total transformation. New carpets, new blinds, new windows, computers, covers, everything. Lights. So really the kids are really gonna enjoy it. It's new stuff and it's gonna give them a sense of pride. And they're very excited and they can't wait to get started. The kids can't wait to get into that computer and they're so excited about it.
Thank you, Cape Town Joseph Christ. You have very nice hearts and God bless you with it. So thank you, Daddy.
Thank you so much, Cyril. Am I doing the right thing here? Is this the right place? Okay. It has been incredible to actually go and visit the Tehillah house since the computers have been in the rooms. And they're waiting, and hopefully Telkom this week will actually extend a cable so that they can get the connection for the ADSL as well, so that the children can really use the computers. But you know what? Before I start, there are some other people that I'd like to thank as well, just for the involvement, not necessarily with Tehillah House, but just with the external part of the Benevolent Fund as well, and the benevolence that has been happening. And some of the names came up that Cyril had as well there. But Lisa, thank you very much for everything that you've done. And Pauline, the time that you guys have spent just trying to pull things together, I really, really appreciate it. And then Eric, all the work that went in, project manager, which is that just done a great, great job. And it really, the children are so excited about that computer room. And it's so different to anything else. And I'll show you a little bit more about what we can be doing there as well. And then just everyone that has, as Cyril have shown, some of those pictures, it's from a diversity of Bible talks that have done different things. And I know there are so much more that has been done, but you didn't get your photos to me. And I'm very thankful for that. And I know the people that you have served in such an incredible way is very thankful for that as well. But we're going to look at the future. But first, before we start with the future, I mean, Mark did a great job just on our hearts, what our hearts need to be like. Vanna did 2 weeks ago. He spoke about what our hearts need to be like as well. And what I want us to do quickly is just go through some statistics of where we are at in our world so that we know why we need to help and give and really help the children as well. Okay. Challenges the world faces. You know, 1 billion people go to bed hungry every single day. 1 billion people in the world. 300 million of those people are children. And 145 million orphans in the world. That is what the situation that we're at the moment. On our continent, Africa, 1 in 2 people live on less than $1 a day. It's like R6.50 a day. Not a lot of money. 184 million people in Africa suffer from malnutrition. 31 million children under 5 are malnourished. And every day, 30,000 children die from a combination of cholera, diarrhea, and malnutrition. It's overwhelming stats when you start looking at it. And now it doesn't want to do anything. There we go. Okay. There you go. A child dies every three seconds from waterborne diseases. And so many of those can be avoided as well if we're looking after what we have on the planet. Nearly 70% of all people living with HIV and AIDS live in Africa. And there are now almost 20 million orphans due to HIV and AIDS in Africa. 20 million. Then let's look a little bit closer to home, South Africa. What are we facing? 61% of South Africa's people still live close to extreme poverty. That's on less than 7 rand a day. 1 in 5 children go to bed hungry every single night. There are approximately 3.8 million children who have lost one or both of their parents. Unemployment rate is 25% in South Africa. That actually came through this morning. Infant mortality rate is 5.8% in South Africa. Still much too high if you think of what we should be able to achieve in South Africa. 60% of crimes nationally are related to substance abuse. The average age of drug dependency in South Africa is 12 years. You know, and as we were driving here tonight, we saw a newspaper heading from the Soweto saying that 1 in every 2 South African children are being abused at the moment. I mean, just scary statistics that we have to face. Now, in the Western Cape, even a little bit closer, we all stay in the Western Cape, eh? those of you who didn't know. Okay, 80% of crimes in the Western Cape are related to substance abuse. The average age of drug dependency is not 12, it's 10 years, and it's dropping rapidly. The greatest tragedy is the effect of on the psychological and the emotional development of our children. Now, we were talking about the Tehillah House. We are going to be focusing around the Tehillah House, which is in Elsies River. It's probably about a 10-minute drive from here. Let's look at what's happening there. The highest incidence rate of drug abuse in South Africa happens right around the corner. It's the highest in the entire country. And the drug that's mostly used is tick. And it's taken over that community. The unemployment rate in Elsies River is 35%, 10% higher than our national average. And then there's a high incidence rates of teenage pregnancy. It's going up day by day because the children know that they can get some money for the child that they actually have. Drug abuse, HIV and AIDS, and TB is very common in the area. And then also the school dropout rate is rising daily because of the teenage pregnancy, but especially because of the drug abuse that's happening there in the area. Now, if we look at the Bible, there's over 2,000 references to the poor in the Bible. And the Bible does two things. It helps us know the poor, and it also helps us identify with the poor so that we know how to love them. You know, if you think of all the scriptures that went up when Cyril's presentation went up, you clothed me, you fed me, all of those are things that Jesus did for people as an example for us as well. You know, knowing the Bible, knowing the poor, we have to look at each and every situation that we face. We need to look at the Bible and say, what do I need to do in that situation? When I see the child that's standing there without any food, what can I do? Not what so-and-so said I should do, but what can I personally do as well? You know, in Proverbs 14, verse 20, it says, the poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. And Proverbs 10, verse 15, it says, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. What the Bible is really saying is that the poor have no walls. They have nothing that protects them. And as God's people, that is a role that we can fulfill for them. We can be the walls that protect them. We can be the ones who help them through their deepest and darkest time. And that we need to have mercy on the poor as well. Now, the first, it starts with the heart. Now, we've been talking about the heart. Varna spoke about it. Mark spoke about it again today. You know, and I'm definitely not going to go into the heart as well. But, you know, if you think of the movie Pearl Harbor, Colonel Lieutenant, whichever way it is, Jimmy Doolittle, he was standing on the deck of the ship and looking at a group of volunteers standing there ready to basically train to go on a suicide mission. And the quote that he said is, there is nothing stronger than the heart of a volunteer. And tonight the plea is for each and every one of us to have the heart of a volunteer. To say, you know what, I'm not going to wait for my neighbor to do something. I'm not going to wait for the next person to tell me what I need to do. I'm going to take initiative and actually do something for the poor. The next one is that we need to have a vision. You know, all of us have vision. It's a little pictures that we have in our minds of when we all get to heaven one day, what it would look like, how excited we're going to be, and that we can't wait for that time. But for the poor, we also need to have a vision. And the vision that we have is not just to only identify and meet the needs of the disadvantaged, but to provide us as disciples opportunities to serve them, to look at your strengths and say, you know what, I'm good at this. I can do whatever it is, whether it is teaching children how to tie shoelaces or whether it is making food or whatever it is, whatever your strength is, that you can say, I can do this. This is my strength and I want to help and support. You know, we need to channel our unique talents to really serve the poor. We want to serve God's purpose in our lives. And we want to, with the benevolent and the compassion and mercy ministry, we want to utilize disciples to serve the poor. We don't want to be an organization where we outsource everything, but that we actually get up and we do something for the poor. The next one is that there's a community. You know, if you think of Jesus, Jesus was usually with the community. He was with the people. He was with the people that were marginalized by the rest of the society. You know, he was with the blind. He was with the poor. He was with the Samaritan people when no one else wanted to talk to them. He was with women when they weren't worth anything in so many people's eyes. But God, Jesus was there, and he set an example for us. You know, the most marginalized community is really children. You know, if you look at all those stats that we looked at earlier, children have it tough in our world. You know, the numbers of children dying from malnutrition is not because there's no food. It's because that no one cares for them a lot of times as well. That sometimes there's even food, but they are not looked after and helped. You know, the whole story of children being seen and not heard, it still rings very true. You know, think of when you had your last dinner party or you had disciples over. You know, what did you tell the children to do? Were they involved with you around the dinner table, or were they being sent to the room to go and play on their own? You know, just think about those little things. Every day, it's something in our culture. It's something that we do very, very easily. But we have to look at it and say, we need to get out to the children. We need to figure out how we can help the children as well. You know, there's an acronym when you're in the NGO world, OVC. Now, a lot of you probably know what OVC stands, and some don't. You know, my girls hate it when I speak acronyms because they're like, what are you saying, Mom? You know, but OVC is Orphans and Vulnerable Children. It has become a very stigmatized word as well. Because shame, you're not Susie. You're an orphan and vulnerable child. I mean, imagine being put into a little bracket and that is who you are. So what I would suggest and I would like to implore us is when we work with children and we have acronyms like OVC, that we change it to our valuable children. Our children that are so precious to us that we work with. That we are not going to be only working with OVC, and OVC's identification is that it needs to be linked to HIV and AIDS or anything like that. We are going to work with children. And yes, some of those children will be orphans. Quite honestly, my belief is all children are vulnerable. You just listen to the abuse stats and the rape that's happening with children and the physical and sexual abuse. They are vulnerable, and we have to remember that each little child that's next door in the kids' kingdom, that child is vulnerable. Each one of our children are vulnerable as well. You know, the most important thing for us to be able to do is to give love to the children, to make sure that we give them the love that they deserve in the community. Now, the community that we've been looking at is Elsie's River. Seeing that we're at the Tehillah House, we've been looking at what we can do around that. And I've been getting with Sister Klein. Some of you will get to know her name already, and some will get to know her name as well. But it's really an area that's been very marginalized. Government and funding doesn't necessarily go that way, you know. And it's an area that we that we believe we can really make a difference in the children's lives as well. So part of the future is that we will be working with Tehila House as part of our project, the Compassion and Mercy Project. This is just you saw a little clip of the Tehila House. Just want to show you a few pictures, photos of what we will be able to do. This is just the inside section of it. This is one of their bathrooms, okay? So they eventually got hot water. They have one, what's it called? A geyser. Thank you. A geyser. But you stand and you want to shower and this wind comes rushing through the roof. That's the roof, by the way. That's the toilet, okay? That desperately needs to be worked on. That's the other bathroom that needs work to be done with. That's that one's roof. The library, as they were saying, that the library was full of holes and everything, and now that became the computer room. Well, the people at the shelter, they're very innovative as well. And there's an old Umiki now that has taken it on upon himself to redo the library. And he's moved it into a different room. So he started to sort out the books and toys and everything like that. But that's the roof. That's where the kids, above where the kids need to sit and play and read their books. Okay, that's the area around the Tehila House shelter. If you look there, I don't know whether this can actually do a little light. No. If you look, there's a nice green grass area, but it has a lot of dangerous stuff lying on the grass and in the grass that will need to be cleaned out. But behind that as well, you'll see the block of flats. There's seven of those. In each of those blocks of flats, there's about 90 people that live in each block. 16 flats. Okay? The income in the block of flats there behind them is between 0 to 400 rand a week. The people live on children's grants. So in South Africa, if you have a child and you can't afford, if you're under a certain salary bracket, then you can apply for a children's grant and you get 260 rand now for a child per month. That's the survival food money, life money for those families. So if you have quite a few children, you can make up a little bit of a better little salary for yourself. The fewer children that you have, the less money you have. So you have a lot of children running around, not going to school. Little ones who should be in early childhood development centers or creches or whatever, just being. No one to look after them. Sometimes looking after themselves at the age of 4 and 5. That's a reality just around the corner from where we're sitting now. You know, the shelter as well, it gives home to 20 children at the moment and 55 adults. Now, most of the adults have either been on drugs and have been rehabilitated or are just homeless. The one lady that leads the shelter or is in charge of the shelter, she's just homeless. She has no other way or no other place to go to. And these are the people that we can help. And how can we help? We're going to have proposed interventions. And the first three that we're going to look at is something that we can start now already. And then others we can phase in later as a congregation as well. But the first one is helping to renovate the Tehila shelter where these people are staying. As you could see, I mean, winter is coming. It's getting very cold very quickly. And they need, that's not the only places that have roofs like that. Okay, so it's not just that. I just took a few photos of it. The next one is adopt a family. There are quite a few child-headed households in the Elsies River area. And what adopt a family is that we're going to be able to partner with the home-based carers at Tehila House and the HIV prevention coordinators to actually do assessments with the families to see who are the most needy. And then we can group together two or three Bible talks and say, we're going to adopt this family. The child-headed households are usually households being run by 18 years old and younger, where they have to take care of, they need to provide for the family and everything. Some are because of there is no adult anymore because they had passed away or they had left the child or they've been on drugs and they've disappeared. Others are that the parent is so ill that the oldest child has to take responsibility for them, for the rest of the family. So a lot of these kids drop out of school, they have to find a job, and the poverty level in those households are usually extremely, extremely high. So what we're going to do is we're working on an intervention where we can adopt a family, and for about 500 rand a month, we'll be able to help that family to so that the child can go to school again. We can help them with school clothes. We can help them as well with life skills so that when they do graduate out of matric, that they actually have some plan for their lives to get themselves out of the situation that they are in at the moment. So that's the second one. Then kids' clubs, where we're going to run life skills lessons for children and educational support, like homework support. And we'll start it small. We don't want to just run out and in every area and every neighborhood just start something big and glorious and everything, because we need to be able to sustain it. It's going to take manpower from us to actually be able to make sure that there's contact with the children in the kids' clubs on a weekly basis. You know, we'll do nutritional support with them. We'll help them with getting computer lessons. So if you know computers, you know, that's not something I will offer my services to. Okay, but if you are strong in anything, if that's your talent, we need you to come forward and to say, you know what, this is something I would like to get involved. Some things that we're going to work on later and continue to work towards is early childhood intervention support. You know, making sure either early childhood resource center or helping the creches that they have already in Elsie's River as well. And we'll talk more about these as time go on. Disaster relief. You know, getting food parcels to families in need and also partnering up with the Red Cross to disaster relief. Then parenting workshops. You know, some of you have a world of wisdom when it comes to parenting. We need to be able to share it with the people in that community, and especially with a focus on fatherhood as well. And then adoptions. These are things that we are working on. We're going to be working towards. As I said, we're not going to start with all of them. We don't want to overwhelm all of us, okay? And if we give you three choices, it's easier than giving you eight choices, okay? So what I want us to do tonight, if you can, is I've asked three people. Two have already said they will actually head this up. And the one is Eric is very kindly offered to head up the whole renovation program that we need to run at the Tehillah House. So if you have any knowledge about building, or you know someone that knows someone that knows someone that can get tiles or can help us with anything to do with building, contractors, I will leave Eric up to Eric to go through all of the things. But you know what? It's a great opportunity to reach out to people as well. If your neighbor is a builder, it's a great opportunity for him to serve. It's a great opportunity for you to be with him and help him see the difference he can make in people's lives and change his life because of how he's changing other people's lives. You know, we need to look at all these situations that we have and see how we can involve other people as well. I remember years ago, John and I, we did feeding schemes up in Joburg, and we had so many of the school parents come with us, you know, and if we weren't there, they were like, hey, where were you? We were there feeding the people, you know, kind of thing. But it was great because it gave us a camaraderie together outside just church people as well. And it gives them a purpose. Okay. So I've asked Eric that whether afterwards that he will be on my right-hand side in front of the to the side of the stage. If you are interested in getting involved in the renovation of the Tehillah House shelter, if you could please go and speak to him. If you can't today, please make sure that you find him on Sunday or you drop him an email and tell him that you are interested in helping or you have the means of helping as well. Then with the kids club, I've asked Mariska, and she's very kindly offered to head that up. And so if you want to work with the children and do activities with them, or even just help source things that we can use for the children, I'd like you to meet with Mariska right here. Someone else took her spot on that side. So Mariska's going to be right here. Okay. And then if you want to, I've spoken to someone about adopt the family and they thinking about it, but I've asked Letitia just to write down names tonight of those Bible Talk leaders or Bible Talk members that would be interested in becoming a part of Adopt a Family program. And as I said, all the details around these we'll continue to work on. It's not that we're going to start on Saturday, because we have to see who of you would be interested in doing what. So if I can please ask you, if, as we finish off tonight, if you can please go to those people and sign up where you feel like it's on your heart to go and help. Or you feel like, you know what, God has given me a talent in this area, and I can offer this. You know, with the kids' clubs, if we have teachers that can help children with education, their educational support. These kids are behind in schooling. They need every little bit of help. But if you're not a teacher, that's fine. You can just go read a story to the child as well. Anything that you can do will be of great value to the children that we are going to be working with. I just want to finish off with saying thank you. Thank you for caring and committing your hearts to the poor. And thank you for giving us this time tonight to actually talk to you as well and to share with you the great things that all of you have done so far. And that we're going to get our programs more streamlined so we can really take things further as well. Thank you. I'm going to ask Cyril just to come up to close us off in a prayer, please.
Let's pray. Father God, we just can so easily get overwhelmed by all the need that we see around us. And Lord, at the same time, when we see all the need around us, we're also just so grateful for the many ways in which you bless us. Lord, as the Apostle Paul says, the comfort that you provide overflows in our lives so that it can flow into the lives of other people as well. And Lord, tonight we just really want to thank you for the way in which you've blessed us. But Lord, help us also to show our gratitude to you by being kind to those that are less well off than we are. Lord, I'm just so excited about the vision that we have. I'm just thankful for the leadership that Van has provided and the direction that Irina is giving us. And God, I just pray that every one of us can get really excited about given the opportunity to really make a difference. And Lord, not just about giving somebody a piece of bread or some soup, but Lord, really the opportunity for people to see your son through us and through our love. Lord, that's the reason why he came into the world. He gave up all the comforts of heaven to come and take up our cause. And Lord, help us to be the same for our vulnerable brothers and sisters, that we will take up their cause, that we will fight for those that are powerless, That we will speak for those who do not have a voice. You will help us to fulfill the vision that Jesus brought into this world. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I guess you are dismissed.